program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Pat Perry from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the News and Observer. Today's reading of Money Matters is underwritten by Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. Today's stories include, despite calls to start over, U.S. health system covers 90%, and new North Carolina law tightens rideshare rules. And we'll begin with, despite calls to start over, U.S. health system covers 90%. America's much maligned healthcare system is covering 9 out of 10 people, a fact that hasn't stopped the 2020 presidential candidates from refighting battles about how to provide coverage. From Bernie Sanders' call for replacing private insurance with a government plan, to President Donald Trump's pledge to erase the Affordable Care Act and start over. The politicians are depicting a system in meltdown. The numbers point to a different story, not as dire and more nuanced. Government surveys show that about 90% of the population has coverage, largely preserving gains from President Barack Obama's years. Independent experts estimate that more than half of the roughly 30 million uninsured people in the country are eligible for health insurance through existing programs. Lack of coverage was a growing problem in 2010 when Democrats under Obama passed his health law. Now the bigger issue seems to be that many people with insurance are struggling to pay their deductibles and copays. We need to have a debate about coverage and cost, and we have seen less focus on cost than we have on coverage, said Colorado Senator Michael Bennett. He is among the Democratic presidential candidates who favor building on the current system, not replacing it entirely, as does Sanders. The cost issue is a huge issue for the country and for families, Bennett said. A report this year by the Commonwealth Fund think tank in New York found fewer uninsured Americans than in 2010, but more who are underinsured, a term that describes policyholders exposed to high out-of-pocket cost when compared with their individual incomes. The report estimated 44 million Americans were underinsured in 2018, compared with 29 million in 2010 when the law passed. That's about a 50% increase, with the greatest jump among people with employer coverage. When you have 90% of the American people covered and they are drowning in their health care bills, what they want to hear from politicians are plans that will address their health care cost, more than plans that will cover the remaining 10%, said Drew Altman, president of the Kaiser Family Foundation, a nonpartisan research organization that tracks the health care system. When Democrats talk about universal coverage more than health care cost, they are playing to the dreams of activists and progressives, much less to the actual concerns of the 90% who have coverage today. Sanders' office responds that the Vermont Senator's Medicare for All plan would solve both the coverage and the cost problems for individual Americans. Medical care would be provided with no deductibles or copays. No one would be uninsured or underinsured. The simple answer is that our health care system becomes more unmanageable for more and more Americans every year, Sanders spokesman Keen Bott said in a statement. This is not a system that needs a few tweaks. This is a system that needs a complete overhaul. But other countries that provide coverage for all and are held up by Sanders as models for the U.S., don't offer benefits as generous as he's proposing. If he is elected president, there's no way of telling how his plan would emerge from Congress or even whether something like it could pass. Four other 2020 Democrats are co-sponsors of Sanders' bill. Senators Cory Booker of New Jersey, Kirsten Gillibrand of New York, Kamala Harris of California, and Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts. On the other side of the political spectrum, Trump is talking about big changes. His administration is seeking to have federal courts declare the entire Obama-era health care law unconstitutional, jeopardizing coverage for 20 million people, jettisoning protections for patients with pre-existing conditions, and upending the rest of the 970-page statute, now nearly 10 years old. The president says there's nothing to worry about. Earlier this summer, Trump told ABC News that he was working on a plan that would provide phenomenal health care, protect people with pre-existing conditions, and would be less expensive than Obamacare by a lot. As president-elect, Trump promised a health plan, but never offered one upon taking office. Instead, he backed bills from congressional Republicans, including one he called mean during a private meeting. Trump says he might come out with his new plan within months, but that passing it would hinge on his getting reelected and Republicans winning back the House in 2020 while keeping control of the Senate. Republicans control Washington back in 2017 when Trump, then Speaker Paul Ryan, Republican Wisconsin, and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, Republican Kentucky, tried for months to repeal and replace the Obama law only to fail. The repeal effort was widely seen as contributing to Republicans losing the House in 2018. Economist Sarah Collins of the Commonwealth Fund, who led the study about underinsured Americans, says cost and coverage problems are intertwined. Citing the Democrats' debate over Medicare for All, she says what's missing from that discussion is that one doesn't have to go that far in order to improve the financial situation for millions of people. You can do that with much more targeted, incremental policies. And next, Shabumi Shade casting big shadow on area beaches this summer. As the sun heated the sand at the base of Bogue Inlet Pier on a Saturday morning in late July, day trippers poured out of their cars to claim pieces of the beach. One after another, they raised what looked at first like a two-tone blue flag, identifying them as members of an alliance of consumers who have discovered 2019's must-have beach accessory. It's a surprisingly simple sunshade that was designed by a trio of North Carolina men who didn't plan to sell it, don't advertise it, and at the moment can't make it fast enough to meet demand. It's kind of crazy, admits Dane Barnes, who with his brother Scott and best friend Alex Slater began working on what they now call the Shabumi Shade in 2015. The trio are now on the verge of leaving their day jobs and going into the Shabumi business full time. Dane Barnes and Slater are both 32. Scott Barnes is 29. Growing up in Winston-Salem, the Barnes brothers spent a week every summer in a rented cottage at Emerald Isle with extended family. Dane Barnes said it was a favorite time of year, carefree and fun, except for one chore that fell to the boys, hauling unwieldy beach umbrellas and rusty framed shade tents onto the sand every morning, setting them up in the wind and then dragging them back at sunset. Later, the Barnes' parents bought a place of their own at Emerald Isle, and so did Slater's folks. as it remained the young men's job to make sure there was adequate sun protection on the beach, they began to spend some of the leisure hours between setup and takedown pondering a better system. Over the years, a fair amount of engineering and architectural consideration has gone into extending the amount of time humans can spend on the beach without getting third-degree sunburn. Every solution has flaws. Wood-framed umbrellas are heavy and require substantial ground support. Metal-framed umbrellas weigh less but are prone to invert in a strong wind or lift off and cartwheel threateningly down the beach. Tailgating tents provide good shade but require a family of four to raise and lower, and their accordion-style folding metal frames are famous for finger-pinching. They rust from ambient humidity. Small beach cabanas and three-sided tents are good shelter for sleeping babies, but their wall blocks the sea breeze, making them too hot for southern beaches in July and August. The Barnes brothers and Slater had a different idea, hoping to work with the wind instead of constantly fighting it. "We kind of started with an arch," Dane Barnes said. And at the prompting of a friend, they went to a hardware store and bought several pieces of plumbing conduit, which they joined together and flexed into an upside-down U. They contemplated the next step for a while until another friend showed up with a portable sewing machine and a bag of fabric and sewing supplies. They watched YouTube videos to learn how to thread and operate the machine and managed to stitch together a big rectangle of ripstop nylon with a sleeve along one edge to slip over the plastic arch. They took it to the beach early in the summer of 2016, faced it into the wind, pushed each end of the arch into the sand, and ran a line from the center of the arch to the ground, a few feet in front of it. When they let go, Dane Barnes said the canopy lifted like a sail in the breeze, and the whole thing stayed put. "We were stunned. It worked so well," Barnes said. Immediately, two attorneys who were walking on the strand stopped and asked the guys where they got the contraption, which provided about 180 square feet of shade and weighed less than a full cooler. "We were just making it for ourselves," Scott Barnes said. "We never planned to sell it." But that summer, they sold 32 of what they first called the Shade Wave, each one stitched together by Dane Barnes and Slater in a spare bedroom at Slater's apartment at night after the men had finished work at their real jobs. Dane is a salesman for a company that makes hiring software. Slater sells recruitment advertising in the healthcare industry. At the time, Scott Barnes was traveling the country as a strategy consultant for healthcare companies. He helped with a project on weekends when he was home. All three are graduates of UNC, and they all live in Raleigh. The shades they made that summer came in a variety of colors and were delivered to buyers in fabric tote bags. In 2017, the company sold 178 of the shades. Last year, it was 2,000, and this year, the shades are as common as cockle shells. There have been a few modifications besides the name change, which plays off the name of a Chapel Hill apartment complex where all three of the men lived while they were in college. Instead of plastic tubing, the arch is now made of tent poles connected by a shock cord. The 10-by-18-foot canopy now comes in only one color combination to streamline the sewing, which is now done in Asheboro under contract. The counterweight is a bag attached to the center of the arch, which users fill halfway with sand to hold the canopy in the air. On the Shibumi website, the company acknowledges that the design won't work in all conditions. It takes at least a 3-mile-per-hour wind to keep the canopy afloat, and it's likely it would not stand in extremely high winds. At either extreme, the maker counsels maybe it's a better day for a goofy golf or curling up with a book. With demand for the shade still increasing, the Barnes Brothers and Slater say they have given notice at their jobs, and by the end of the year, all three expect to be working full-time in the business. Each says the other two are among their favorite people in the world, and what could be better than working with people you enjoy? Right now, Dane Barnes says the Shibumi shade is available online and through 20 retailers. The company doesn't advertise, relying on word of mouth and people who see the canopy set up on a beach. Barnes is a big believer in customer service, he says. He emailed, texted, and called each of the first 7,500 or so customers to make sure they were happy with their purchases. If a customer has a problem, he says, he offers to make a repair or replacement. Debbie Byrne, office manager of the Ace Hardware store at Emerald Isle, said her store started selling the shade in 2017. This year, she said, the store ordered 500 and we sold them immediately. We could have sold double that. Compared to umbrellas sold at the store for $30 to $60 and tents that go for up to $200, the Shibumi shade may be too pricey for some locals at $250, Burns said. But the tourists don't complain. They've got the money, she said. So far, she said, she hasn't heard any complaints about the shades. The only thing wrong I know that's wrong with them is that I can't get enough of them. And next, new North Carolina law tightens rideshare rules. Drivers for rideshare companies such as Uber and Lyft will have to display lighted signs with the company name and put their license plate number on the front of their vehicles under a bill signed into state law on Friday. The Passenger Protection Act aims to make it harder for someone to impersonate a rideshare driver by making it easier for riders to know they are getting into the car they summoned. The bill, which passed both the House and Senate without any no votes, also makes it a crime to impersonate a rideshare driver. Representative John Bell IV, a Republican from Wayne County, introduced the bill after the killing of University of South Carolina student Samantha Josephson, who this spring got into an unmarked Chevrolet Impala she thought was her Uber ride home in Columbia. Police arrested the man they said was the driver of the Impala and charged him with kidnapping and murder. My goal this entire process has been to bring everyone to the table to identify real solutions that address the growing problem of rideshare impersonators who are exploiting this technology and targeting our most vulnerable citizens, particularly around college campuses, Bell said in a statement after the legislature sent the bill to Governor Roy Cooper last month. Ultimately, you cannot prevent bad people from doing bad things, Bell said, but these common sense safeguards will make it easier for people to properly identify their rides and help prevent such a tragedy from happening in North Carolina. North Carolina does not have a front-facing license plate on cars and trucks. The new law gives rideshare drivers until October 1st to come up with a way to display the license plate number in a legible and contrasting font no smaller than 3 inches in height while they are offering rides. The goal is to make it easier for customers to confirm the approaching vehicle is the one identified by the app. Starting December 1st, drivers without the front license plate number face a fine of $250. While many rideshare drivers already display a lit sign with the company name and logo, known as Trade Dress, it will become mandatory on July 1st, 2020. The bill, which Cooper signed into law on Friday, makes it a misdemeanor to impersonate a rideshare driver either verbally or with a sign or a logo. Impersonating a driver while committing a felony, such as kidnapping or assault, is a Class H felony punishable by up to 3 years and 3 months in prison. The law also makes it a misdemeanor to assault a rideshare driver. And next, North Carolina wants back some of the $1 billion in tax breaks for solar farms. The state has handed out about $1 billion in tax breaks to companies and individuals that invested in solar farms. Now the state tax collector is looking to cancel some of those breaks and collect the money. Anxiety among tax attorneys and companies that claim tax credits and their fight with the State Department of Revenue has been burbling for more than a year. This month, Monarch Private Capital, a tax credit broker based in Georgia, asked Revenue Secretary Ronald Penny to renounce the department's position through an administrative process called a declaratory ruling. Monarch Private Capital offers state and federal tax credits to companies and individuals looking to lower their tax bills. Shore Johnson, a spokesman for the State Department of Revenue, said in an interview last month and in emails last month and Thursday that state law prohibits the department from discussing tax audits. We cannot comment on ongoing audits or any potential litigation, Johnson wrote Thursday. The state offered a 35% tax credit to investors in renewable energy projects. The tax credit, along with other state policies encouraging renewable energy, helped make North Carolina one of the top states in the nation in solar farm capacity, the News and Observer has reported. The renewable energy tax credit ended in 2015, but investors were given a few more years to claim the tax breaks. And next, North Carolina and South Carolina are in the running for a lucrative auto plant that could bring 2,000 jobs. North Carolina and South Carolina are under consideration to be the home of an auto manufacturing plant that could create up to 2,000 jobs in the first 5 years. Indian automotive company Mahindra Automotive North America confirmed Friday. Mahindra is looking for a location for the company's first large-scale manufacturing and assembly facility in the United States. No potential sites have been announced in North or South Carolina. Company spokesman Richard Ansell said Mahindra is looking at western North Carolina, although that focus could expand. But the Carolinas have competition for the lucrative deal. The company is already exploring a site in Flint, Michigan, and Mahindra is also considering Texas and Arizona, Ansell said. The Michigan site may have a leg up on competition because the company's North American headquarters and technical center is in Auburn Hills, Michigan, just 30 minutes from Flint. Mahindra said the decision will depend partly on what financial incentives are offered by Michigan. It's evaluating the former Buick City site in Flint. While we're keeping our options open, we think the former Buick City site in Flint would be a great fit for us, President and CEO Rick Haas said in a statement. The new plant would include production of mail delivery trucks if the company wins the bid for a USPS contract. The company is one of five shortlisted for the contract. While Michigan looks like a front runner, North Carolina still has a good chance, said corporate site selection specialist John Boyd from New Jersey. The state really has made hiring automotive facilities a major part of their economic development program, Boyd said. This would be an opportunity for Mahindra to go to a market that would really embrace it with open arms. North Carolina Department of Commerce spokesman David Rhodes said the agency doesn't comment on active projects. Last year, North Carolina lost its bid to win a huge Toyota Mazda manufacturing plant. The company went with a site in Alabama near a Toyota engine plant instead. North Carolina had offered Toyota Mazda more than $1.5 billion in tax breaks and other incentives, the News and Observer reported, in January 2018. Toyota Mazda was considering a 1,800-acre Randolph County site before deciding on Alabama. Alabama announced it would give the companies $380 million in incentives over 10 years, the News and Observer reported. Despite losing out on the plant, Rhodes said it brought a lot of good attention to the state. And next, Chase raises credit card balances for Canadians. Every consumer with credit card debt fantasies about having it magically wiped away. For customers with Canada's credit cards from J.P. Morgan Chase, the dream came true. The bank said last week that it had erased the remaining debt as it closed down its credit card business in Canada. Recipients of the windfall reacted with a mix of elation and shock. I asked the rep on the phone about five times if she was sure all was truly forgiven, one posted on a personal finance board after seeing the $883.67 balance on her card drop to zero. Her reply, take it like a gift. A Chase spokeswoman, Maria Martinez, confirmed the freebie. Chase made the decision to exit the Canadian credit card market, she said. A further business decision was made earlier this year to forgive all outstanding balances in order to complete the exit. Chase stopped accepting new applications 2 years ago for its two Canadian credit cards, which were co-branded with Amazon and Marriott. In March 2018, the bank closed its existing accounts and blocked customers from incurring new charges, but it continued collecting payments on the remaining balances. Paul Adamson, an Ontario resident, learned of his lucky break last week when he tried to pay the bill on his Amazon card. His bank told him that it could not process the payment. Adamson, 43, called Chase to investigate and learned that his remaining $1,600 debt had been forgiven. Chase's decision is extremely unusual, Sarah Rathner, NerdWallet's credit card expert, said. She had never heard of a bank simply writing off balances as it shuts down a credit card product. More typically, the bank would keep collecting payments or sell the remaining balance to a debt buyer. When HSBC left the U.S. credit card business, for example, it sold its portfolio to Capital One. We have run out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. I hope you've enjoyed it, and be sure to listen next time. I'm Pat Perry, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Today's reading of Money Matters is underwritten by Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. So long till next time.